The following conversation discusses the recent announcement that GDM is seeking to acquire AgReliant Genetics. The transaction is subject to regulatory approvals in the United States and other customary closing conditions and approvals. Until the necessary approvals and closing conditions are obtained and satisfied and the transaction has closed, GDM and AgReliant Genetics will continue to operate as independent entities, maintaining their current business routines and commercial structures.
AgBioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
The American farmer dealing with uncertainty, how do we not only deliver the innovation, but in a very reliable way? This is hands down the most important thing that we can do for the 180 million acres of corn and soybeans that are planted every year.
Welcome to AgBioscience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. I'm Kayla Chittister, producer of the podcast, and sitting here this week with Megan DeVelvis, Agrinova's Senior Director of Growth and this week's guest host of the show. Megan, thank you, first of all, for doing this. It was not as painful as you thought it was going to be, was it?
It really wasn't. It was tons of fun. For my first time, I was a little nervous.
Yeah.
But I had a great guest.
You did have a great guest. And you have known Dave Pugh, CFO of AgReliant Genetics, for a long time.
Yes. So it was easy to have the conversation and have the questions answered that are on our minds about the big things that are going on with AgReliant.
Yeah, what a time to have a conversation with Dave, right? Give me kind of your high-level overview of this conversation that AgBioscience listeners are about to hear.
So what I was hoping to get from Dave was this kind of different topic than, I mean, Ag Bioscience is full of different topics.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? We do all kinds of things, and it's well-loved by everybody. But I knew he would have a unique perspective. His computer science, risk management, financial background, he has done really cool things in really cool places, and I wanted to hear how he brings that to his work in AgReliant, because I think he's doing things that make a difference, doing things that are different, that are really bringing value to AgReliant employees, customers, science, everything they do and touch.
Yeah, the way he describes the decision-making process and the way he thinks through things is fascinating. And that was my favorite part of the discussion you had. Sitting there and getting to listen to him talk about that was deeply fascinating.
I agree. And I think our viewers are really going to appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming in and being a guest host on Ag Bioscience Summer of Fun as it continues. We will Photoshop sunglasses on your face at some point in a promo image. We really do appreciate it, Megan.
Thank you so much. It was an honor.
Everyone, please enjoy Megan's interview with Dave Pugh, CFO from AgReliant Genetics on Ag Bioscience.
So, Dave Pugh, first-time podcast guest, Megan DeVelvis, first-time podcast host, quite the pair. I'm a little nervous. Thank you so much for being here.
No, I appreciate you carving out time, and congratulations. I think you're coming up on your six-month anniversary.
Gosh. Yeah. You're right. Thoughtful of you to say so.
No, absolutely.
So, we have a couple questions for you. The Ag Bioscience community really likes to nerd out on conversations like the one we're about to have. But I'd like to start us off with a little bit of a grounding. Not the traditional tell me about yourself, but we know that you have a computer science background. You spent time in risk management, finance, Eli Lilly, Elanco. Now you're with AgReliant. Talk to us a little bit about the perspective that collection of experience brings you and what about all of that drew you to this ag bioscience community and sector.
No, absolutely. I had the opportunity early on in my career to start working at Lilly and IT, as you mentioned. And then I went back and got my MBA. And part of the MBA program, when I was at Lilly, I had an opportunity to go to Charleston, South Carolina, and be a sales rep for a period of 3 months while a woman was out on maternity leave. And as I go into the field, so day one in the field was the day Cialis launched. So I am there in the field talking about erectile dysfunction to urologists. I'm in the field talking to endocrinologists about diabetes. I am learning about the culture, or what's really underpinning the culture of Lilly. And what the big epiphany that I had over that period of 3 months is how important the customers are to really defining the culture of a company. So all of my interactions, whether it was with a urologist or an endocrinologist or a GP, it was very formal. I was in a suit. I was in a tie. When I talked to them about the products, there were very specific things that I could say, very specific things that I could not say. All the samples were signed for, et cetera. So what I gather is sort of like I was a fish and I had worked at Lilly all of my career, and a fish can't really describe what water is, right? And I didn't really understand culture until I actually went to Elanco. But that seminal moment back in, I guess it was 2004, 2005, really understand that Lilly has a much more formal culture. The underpinning of pharmaceuticals is innovation as well as uncertainty. And so in a formal culture, how do you navigate that uncertainty but also innovate at the same time? I was given the opportunity in 2016. I had spent 3 years in Russia for Lilly as their CFO and then came back in corporate strategy. So I was in Lilly's corporate strategy group, and they looked around and said, who knows the least amount about animal health? Let's have him go down to Brazil. So I went to Brazil to do a strategic assessment of the animal health business in Brazil. And Brazil has, you know, 230 million cows and only 210 million people. So it's, you know, the second largest number of cows in the world. And my understanding, or as I went down there, really around what made a customer tick. And that customer, the relationship that Brazilian affiliate had with the customer, they were very humble. The customer is very resilient, very, very hardworking. And that the hardworking and resilience wasn't differentiated from Lilly, but the difference between how formal someone is and the informality. And I grew up in Morgan County, and that just, it started to click. One thing led to another, and then in 2018, I was asked to come over with the IPO with Elanco and help them start up a new animal health company, and really understanding that cultural difference and how we could impact some of the most humble, hardworking, resilient people on the planet, which is the American farmer. You know, we have 95 million acres of corn here in the U.S. is going to be planted this year, 83 million acres of soybeans. About 5.5 of each of those are going to be in the state of Indiana. So how can we, as AgReliant Genetics, when coming over, how can we innovate around that? And so that innovation thread, whether it was with Lilly or whether it was with Elanco or whether it's now with AgReliant, that's been consistent throughout, I guess, my tenure. And I'm very, very fortunate to be working in a field with a customer base that we have in ag. It's very humbling.
What a cool journey. And I really appreciate your focus on the customer and tying innovation all the way through that journey. That's super cool. So kind of continuing to pay homage to that, the moment that we have in front of us at AgReliant, massive validation for the portfolio, for the research, for everything that AgReliant stands right. for. This acquisition, the announcement mm-hmm. for GDM to purchase 100% stake of AgReliant. Will you share your perspective yeah. on tying that into that same journey you were discussing and how that impacts the work that AgReliant does in serving the same customer?
Yeah, just to take that innovation thread. I think back in 2016, Lilly spent about $5.5 billion roughly on R&D, and their sales were just north of $20 million. And I think roughly they're spending 25% of sales on R&D. When I was at Elanco, we spent 7-8% of sales on R&D. And that's really an indicator for me of how important that innovation is. So GDM is a company that spends 15% of their sales on R&D, and they're 100% seed-focused. They have their own germplasm with soybean genetics, and we have our own germplasm regarding with corn genetics. And so you're bringing two companies that are highly focused on innovation. 55% of their employees are in R&D. I mean, that is an amazing commitment to innovation, and that's really what makes me excited about becoming GDM North America. It's going to be a great ride, and it's going to be really driven by innovation and how we can deliver that innovation to the American farmer. It's not just the delivery of that, but it's also making sure that, and I mentioned the word uncertainty, and we can talk about that a little bit more, but the American farmer dealing with uncertainty, how do we not only deliver the innovation, but in a very reliable way? This is hands down the most important thing that we can do for the 180 million acres of the American farmer dealing with uncertainty. How do we not only deliver the innovation, but in a very reliable way? This is hands down the most important thing that we can do for the 180 million acres of corn and soybeans that are planted every year.
I think that a lot of people will agree with you on that point. So let's dig a little further.
Yep.
Talk to me about the uncertainty that is apparent.
Yeah.
Coming from many angles, and the cost of that, and how someone like you would seek to innovate and resource that innovation, and continuing with that, serving the customer journey at the same time.
No, it's a great question. When I went through the MBA program, I got my undergrad at Purdue, and then I went back and got my MBA at IU. And you know, when you're going through that program and you're learning about the time value of money, the weighted average cost of capital, et cetera, you're given a problem, and here's the problem. You execute the problem, and then you have an answer. And rarely in that program did we say, okay, here are the inputs, but the inputs could be this or it could be that, and you're having to deal with a wide range of uncertainty. So my first job in finance at Lilly was in corporate finance and investment banking, and we were valuing the portfolio. When you think about something that's uncertain, you think about how do you launch a product that, or how do you value a product that's going to launch 7-8 years down the road after phase one, phase two, phase three clinical trials. And each one of those clinical trials, it could fall out of bed. So Lilly had a group led by a really brilliant guy, his name's Jay Anderson, that led their decision sciences group. And decision sciences is not just about how do you mathematically deal with standard deviation and uncertainty, et cetera, but it's also behavioral science. It's also how do you ask questions in such a way that you eliminate or reduce bias? This is very, very important, because if I ask you how many cows are in Brazil, you say, oh, I don't know, 200 million cows plus or minus 10%. As opposed to asking the question in a different way, how many cows are in Brazil at the top end such that there's only a 10% chance it could ever be higher than that? And then you give the top end number and then the low end, and then you eliminate that anchor bias around what your answer is. And that's very, very important. It's not just math, but it's also behavioral in how you deal with that uncertainty. So I learned a lot in that job, and I took that when I first started at AgReliant. We did not have a very robust forecasting process. And we were getting our forecast information from our sales reps or our DSMs, our district sales managers, and our area business managers. And there was a lot of anchor bias. You give somebody a target. Your target is, 100 bags of corn. And, how many bags do you think you're going to sell this year? Well, they're going to anchor on that 100. As opposed to asking them a series of questions in a different way to get an 80% confidence interval, and then using Monte Carlo simulation to figure out, okay, if I've got inputs from 50 different sources on what their individual estimates are going to be, how do I bring that all together and come up with an estimate for the total amount of corn that we're going to sell and make trade-off decisions in the moment? Because one of the things that I learned very poignantly is corn grows outside. And I I knew that, but I didn't really know that. And how that impacts a forecast that I am doing in September for a product that I don't sell until February, and it's not planted for another 2 months, and we're not actually doing the settlement process for another 3 months out of that or after that. That level of uncertainty really requires discipline. You can't just go by gut. There's a lot of people that have made their career in ag by going by their gut. We have a different culture at AgReliant. It's really data-driven decisions, and how do we use data and embrace that uncertainty mathematically so we can get to a prediction and an answer and make decisions, real-time decisions, in a way that makes sense and is in the range of the 80% confidence interval, as you will, and as that 80% shrinks throughout the year as you get more and more information. So it's been a great opportunity to take something that I learned 25 years ago and then apply it to ag in a way that has helped the company make better data-driven decisions.
That's so cool. Right now we're going to take a break, and we're going to hear from Indiana Farm Bureau. Thank you for your support for Ag Bioscience.
A healthy company is a blessing, but a well-insured company is a necessity. That's why Indiana Farm Bureau offers more affordable health plans for eligible members. Whether you have just a handful of employees or a larger enterprise, building a stable business demands employees who are just as strong and healthy. Indiana Farm Bureau can help with health plans that include medical, dental, vision, and Medicare supplement insurance plans. And you can sign up for membership and apply for an Indiana Farm Bureau health plan any time of year. Indiana Farm Bureau understands the cost of healthcare has rapidly become one of the largest expenses for many small businesses. We invite you to compare our health plans to your current coverage. We're confident you could find significant savings. To learn more about the health plan that's right for you, visit infbhealthplans.com and make the switch today.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. Dave, for those of us that don't know, talk to us about the AgReliant portfolio as it exists heading into this acquisition. There are so many strengths, and it's very well known across the Midwest, but tell us more.
No, I appreciate the question. I think one of the things is very similar to Lilly and Elanco and AgReliant is the company is about brands. Brands are what the customer, what the grower, what the farmer is familiar with. They have an identity. They often have a relationship with that brand, especially in corn. Corn is, in the U.S., corn is a very emotional crop. So we have two brands in the United States, and we have one brand in Canada. And collectively, I think if you add up all of the lifespan of those three brands, it's 250 years. I mean, these are very, very established brands. I remember, just as a kid doing our annual pilgrimage from Mooresville to Kings Island and just driving down I-74 and seeing AgriGold, AgriGold, AgriGold signs on the side of the highway. So AgriGold has been a flagship brand for AgReliant for ever since AgReliant has been around, but AgriGold's been around 90 years. It's a very, very well-established brand here in the U.S. And LG is the other brand that we have in the United States, and it was really came into its own in roughly 2016 when there was a consolidation of other regional brands into LG. And now we are in 31 states across the United States. So I know that you mentioned Midwest. We go from California to the right side of the United States all the way down to Florida. So we are where corn grows. It's an important opportunity, but it's also a challenge because you have different climates that corn grows in, and therefore you need an R&D engine that can support different climates. And we are making sure that we show up to our customer base in an appropriate way. But we have LG and AgriGold in the U.S., and then Pride Seeds in Canada. And that's outside of Chatham in in Canada, just across the river, maybe an hour away from Detroit, is the base, and it serves a very large. I lived in Russia, and I think the second largest country is Canada. So getting seed to farmers on the left side of Canada, on the right side of Canada, is no small task. So that very small but mighty team does a very, very good job of distribution throughout that very large country. So we are in a lot of different places with those three brands. And coming into what's going to be GDM North America, there are two flagship brands. One is Mustang Seeds, which is a more regional brand in the northern part of the United States, north Midwest part of the United States, and then Revere, which is a more retail brand in the South. So coming into that portfolio of how do we deliver our proprietary genetics to the customer base throughout the United States and take advantage of those 95 million acres of corn, I think is going to be the challenge that we will embrace as a company. It's very, very exciting times.
That's brilliant. And anybody that knows seeds understands how important these seed brands are.
Yep.
It's a considered purchase. It's thoughtful. It is emotional.
Mm-hmm.
So hearing you take a point to acknowledge that AgReliant understands that, GDM understands that, as you move forward, must be striking a positive chord with your farmers that grow these brands and have this affection for them.
Yeah, at the end of the day, the brand and the customer relationship is very, very important. And I think, you know, as we look back over, you know, historically, and, you know, Brian Barker, who is the CEO, and I came in within a month of each other a couple years ago, and we're kind of assessing where we are. One of the things that we assessed is we need to become more brand-centric. We need to become more customer-centric on the farmer, not just focused on innovation, but innovation with the purpose to make sure that that innovation gets to the farmer ultimately.
So you touched on it before. I'd like to bring it back into focus again. AgReliant has a tremendous R&D engine.
Mm-hmm.
And things that I would put into that space are high-performing hybrids that are proven, you know, 100,000 hybrids tested, 500 pre-commercial research plots.
You've done your homework.
Yes, we try at
right,
AgBioscience. So as the person leading finance for all of this work and the focus that you have in creating opportunities for bearing the uncertainty, innovating for the farmer, how do you use your collection of experiences and your role to oversee that?
No, it's a great question. And I touched on decision sciences a little bit earlier, and it's not just for forecasting. We have different problems that we need to solve, and really coming to bear, we've created a group that can come into a situation, learn about what problem they're trying to solve, and help teams create algorithmic approaches to that problem, to really solve that problem in an algorithmic way, as opposed to just by gut. So I think that getting back to data-driven decisions, I think that's been the big innovation in finance since, you know, over the past 2 years. When you think about how finance informs decision-making, I think making sure that people have the data at their fingertips and are being able, I use this phrase a lot at AgReliant, being able to see around trees. My number one rule at AgReliant is no surprises. And that's hard. That's hard in finance. It's hard, especially because, as I mentioned earlier, corn grows outside. So by definition, how do you make sure, you know, by definition, there are going to be surprises, but how do you create a resilient financial, really, organism to be able to adjust and adapt and prepare? I will tell you, though, that although it's important to prepare, it's very, very easy to get distracted. And I want to touch on that a little bit. I think, you know, I had the opportunity to go to Purdue with my chief accountant, so Ryan Howard, who's a brilliant guy, and he has a number of years of experience at EY as an auditor, and he's come in recently to help us you know, craft and really level up the accounting organization at AgReliant. But we were invited to come to a macro or a microeconomics class, about a 90-minute class, Econ 251 at Purdue. So we go up there, and we've got a great presentation. It is, we've thought about this a lot. It was right at the beginning of the tariffs, and we were thinking about, okay, what is the weighted average cost of capital that we have, and you know, how are the tariffs going to impact this? What is the risk-free rate? How is that changing? How is that going to impact? And the weighted average cost of capital. What about goodwill? What about goodwill impairment? Maybe we could put a case study together for these kids to talk about a unintended consequence of the uncertainty in the market. And you mentioned the cost of uncertainty because it does come with a cost. So we had this 90-minute presentation, and we did it, and we did a great, or I would say a good job, and I'll tell you why it wasn't great, but we did a good job. The kids were engaged, and we had two classes, so it was an hour and a half of listening to, you know, Dave Pugh and Ryan talk about esoteric things like WAC and risk-free rate and blah, blah, blah. So I was feeling pretty proud of myself on the way back. So I'm driving back to Hendricks County, and it struck me that I just spent an hour and a half talking to a bunch of, you know, college kids in Econ 251 about what is ultimately a distraction. So, and I say it because whether you're talking about tariffs or other novel things that are in the news, and you have this novelty bias that you want to talk about the new stuff, what really underpins and what really can sink your boat and what can cost you a lot of money is taking your focus off the grower, taking your focus off the customer. So I just spent an hour and a half talking to kids about things that is not the real cost or not the real uncertainty or not the real value of what ag brings, which is how do you bring innovation for that farmer to increase his yield or her yield year on year on year. And if you, the real cost of whether they're the tariffs or the news of the day is the distraction because you're not paying attention to the customer. And that was sort of the epiphany aha that I had coming back. And I initially started that car ride thinking that we had done a great job, and I ended the car ride a little despondent that I didn't talk to them about the real cost of this, which is distraction. You know, there's that and I've used this analogy at AgReliant quite a bit, but there's that famous scene in Jurassic Park where you've got that velociraptor, and they have to go, I think, turn on the electrical grid, and he's seeing the velociraptor, and he takes off his hat, and he's going to kill the velociraptor. And, you know, he looks to his left, and there's one right here. And he says, "Clever girl," right before he gets eaten. So he was completely distracted by this thing over there that wasn't going to eat him. And he got, well, it was a very famous scene. He got very unfortunately killed because he wasn't paying attention. He didn't have his head on a swivel, and he was completely distracted. And I think that is the danger, whether you're talking about tariffs or anything else in the news, that is the news of the day. How do we in ag, how do we in Indiana, whether it's at the company level or all the way up through government, how do we not get distracted and keep the farmer in focus? This is very, very important for us.
I love that point. And perhaps the students of those econ classes will be able to hear this podcast and get the real point.
Yeah, perhaps.
Perhaps.
We can hope.
Yeah. Okay, one more question for you.
Okay.
As you look to the future, the integration with AgReliant Genetics into GDM, what has you most excited about what's to come?
You know, it's really about the opportunity we have to bring germplasm in soybeans and corn. When we have looked at soybeans at AgReliant, it's been a supporting supportive crop to help. You know, we were a corn genetics company, and now we are going to be a corn and soybeans genetics company. That is huge. There are only four companies in the United States that have their own corn genetics, and two are in central Indiana. Two are right here. This is a big deal, and for us to not only have corn genetics and being able to increase yield for our farmers year on year on year with the leadership under Peter Lynch, who is a savant when it comes to this at AgReliant, but also to have that on soybeans as well is really exciting. So I think we have a great future. It's exciting to think about what we can in a very real way deliver to the American farmer. So that's my why, if you will.
I think that's amazing. And as a former seed very involved person, I will tell you, I think this is a very, very exciting time
Great.
For AgReliant.
Well, thank you so much, Megan. I appreciate your time and appreciate you inviting me here. This has been a lot of fun.
It has been so much fun, and I can't wait to listen to this episode playback so that I can remember all the biases I need to check for myself.
There you go.
And I'm sure everybody listening and watching Ag Bioscience feels the same way. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. See you next time.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovis Indiana, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, edited by Mike Fisher, photography and design by Kaylee Verstee, video by Darren Cooper and 1898 Creative. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovisindiana.com.